Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I'm excited about our guest this week. We had Bill Reeser with us back in early March, and we talked about his book, Vertical Leap, How Jesus Changed a New York City Basketball Legend, and just had some tremendous feedback. God used those programs in a big way. And as you learned back 4 or 5 months ago, Bill is the founder and the director of Encounter, a ministry here in Lexington. Encounter's mission is to help broken and hurting people overcome life's adversities so they can discover a free life devoted to Jesus Christ. And actually attended one of those programs and was really, really blessed. And he's going to be talking this summer about the prayer and Holy Spirit, and we're going to be talking about that over the next couple of days. And Bill, I tell you, I know you're a follower of Jesus, and I am too, and yet, boy, the enemy's good about keeping us from just spending time in prayer, isn't he?
Greg, thanks for having me back on the show, and he really is good. He'll do everything he can in his power to keep us from experiencing the greatest relationship that we have with our Father who loves us. And he'll do everything he can to keep us from praying, going to the throne, so we can experience the love, the truth, the grace, the power, everything, all these gifts that God wants to give us through prayer, through a relationship, because he hates it. He hates us. His mission is really, really simple: to steal, kill, and destroy. and he wants to steal and rob us of the glory that God wants to have in our lives, the blessings that God wants to give us in our lives, the peace that we can receive in our lives, and all of that comes through prayer. All of that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You think about that. Our relationship with Christ starts through prayer. It's maintained through prayer, and it's sustained through prayer. So when you say a prayer, when you ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, how does that happen? Well, it happens with repentance. It happens with acknowledging that you need a Savior, but the transaction happens through a prayer. The transaction happens by saying, if you confess with your mouth, that's praying, and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. So the evangelist in me is coming out already, because I know someone's listening and they want, how can I know Jesus? How can I have a relationship with Jesus? This through prayer. You can not only pray a prayer, but you can continually pray, and you can continually be in his presence, and you can have communion with God, not just at the end of a service, but you can have communion with God every day through prayer. And just like you said, the enemy will do everything he can in his power to discourage you. To keep you from praying. He would rather have you go to the phone instead of the throne. He would rather have you go to Facebook than seek his face. He would rather have you do all those things to keep you from experiencing all that God wants to be and do in your life so that you'll be blessed.
Well, you just said it so well. And, you know, I think prayer, people say, well, gosh, you know, I'm just, well, what do I do? And I think we make it so complicated, but the best description I heard of prayer is it's simply a conversation between you and God. But on top of that, if it's a good conversation with somebody, we also need to listen a little bit too, don't we?
Well, prayer is a lot of things. It's not just us asking. A lot of times we think that it's just us getting things, asking things. And I heard Jim Cymbalist said, he said this in a sermon the other day. He says, God's not an ATM machine. And
ouch.
And a lot of times we go to God when we need something. And God's saying, what about this relationship? I have loved you so much. I've loved you even before the foundations of the earth were created. Every day of your life was recorded in my book. And the thoughts that I have for you, you can't even comprehend. I think about you every day. I have loved you every day. And I demonstrated my love and still demonstrate my love to you. And all you have to do is look at Jesus. And if you ever wonder how much I do love you, just look at the cross. And you can see those arms extended wide to the left, wide to the right. And that's how much I love you. See, most people think God's mad at them, but God's mad about them. And when we go
say that again, I think it's good.
See, most people think that God's mad at them, but he's mad about them, and he's madly in love with us, and that's the motivation, because God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's not just the eternal life that he wants us to have; it's the abundant life here before that eternal life. kicks in. Now, we've got one shot at this thing called life. Mm. I don't know how many years. I mean, Greg, you look pretty healthy. Maybe you'll make it to 100. Okay, I hope you do. And but according to the Bible, that 100 years is like a vapor. Mm. You know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. And what we do in this life does matter for eternity. And God wants us to have an abundant life, full of joy, purpose, power, and have the most abiding, greatest relationship with Him possible. How is that possible? Because Jesus and the Father are not with us. We're going to talk more about that when we talk about the Holy Spirit. He's in heaven. The Father's in heaven. But He says, I'm going to give you a gift. And I'm going to give you this gift called prayer. And that gift is going to give you the ability to communicate with me. Now, I don't want you just asking for things all the time. I want you just waiting. The purpose of prayer is to get to know the God of the universe better, is to be in His presence and to grow our relationship with Him. Jesus said it this way in John 14:6, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that's not only a salvation principle, that's a prayer principle. Mm. So Jesus is saying, I'm the pathway. I have bridged the gap so that you can not only have salvation, you can not only have your eternity settled, but you can have a relationship. You can talk to your Father. Mm. Because that's our biggest problem born into this world. We are born into this world handicapped because we're born separated from our eternal Father in heaven. And we're born into a sinful, broken world. And Jesus came to fix that. Jesus came to bridge that gap back to our Father. That's why absent father wounds hurt.
Yeah.
When people are hurt by their physical fathers, biological fathers, it hurts so much because it represents the disconnect and the separation that we're born into from our Heavenly Father. And when Jesus restores that through a relationship with Him, not only do we have a relationship with Jesus, not only are we empowered by the Holy Spirit, but now we're restored to our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than we could ever know. And when we know how much He loves us, and when we grow our relationship with Him by praying, our prayer life goes from asking to waiting to being in His presence to just listening to Him. Prayer is also listening. Prayer is also waiting. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes my best prayer sessions with God are when I don't say a single word and I just say, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? Is there anything you want to point out in my life? And I just wait. And I picture myself sitting in His lap, and I picture my Father holding me. And I just enjoy being in His presence. It's called communion with God. And I love my time with God. And it means a lot to me because I grew up without an earthly dad. My dad left when I was 6 months old. Never got to feel the physical touch of an earthly father. But when God revealed His love to me through His Son, Jesus Christ, my relationship with my Heavenly Father was restored, and I get to experience that every day in prayer.
Well, and I think you hit on such a huge point there that you've been talking about the last couple of minutes, that I know there's people listening, Bill, and because, you know, they just didn't have the best earthly father, and we know parents do the best they can, but sometimes they're absentee. But yet the thing I love about your story that you shared, and you need to go back, I believe it was early March, go to our website, hopeishere.today, and just hear the powerful story of how God pursued Bill, and Bill finally surrendered his life. And the thing about your story, it's so powerful to me, and I know there's people praying for husbands and for dads and for brothers and so many men to come to know Jesus. But how old were you when you finally surrendered your one and only life to Jesus, Bill?
I was 36 years old. And so me and my wife, sometimes she thinks it was 37. I tell her it's 36, but it's close. It's in between.
Right. But, you know, there's people praying because, you know, saying, oh, this, you know, I'm tired of praying. And yet, you know, 36 for you, my dad was almost 50.
Yeah.
Before God got him. So I just want to encourage people that are listening, you're praying and you haven't seen those fruits yet from those prayers, but it can happen. Bill 36, and I mean, he ran hard from God. So go back and listen to those programs. My dad, it took him having the company he was president of being bought out, possibly losing his job, having a heart attack, having triple bypass surgery. You know, God will do whatever he has to do to pursue us, won't he?
He sure does. He goes way beyond our prayers. And so we have to ask the question, does God answer prayers or he doesn't? Mm-hmm. Is he a prayer-answering God or not? Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever, or he isn't? And so these are big questions we have to ask. You know, can God do what he says he can do? Is he who he says he is, and can he do what he says he can do? And I believe he is, and I believe he can, and I have seen him do it over and over and over. You know, prayer is a mystery. It really is a mystery, and there are no formulas to pray. Sometimes there's no reasonable explanation as to why God answers prayers and why he doesn't. He just calls us to pray. I find it interesting that when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he always gave them examples of lessons in prayer that God doesn't answer right away when we pray. When he spoke about the Canaanite woman, when he spoke about the persistent widow, when he spoke about the friend at midnight. These are three examples that God uses. I'm going to teach you something about prayer. And so here's the persistent widow who comes to the unjust judge, and the unjust judge doesn't want anything to do with her. You know, don't bother me, he says. The friend at midnight, a guy comes knocking at midnight. He goes, I'm asleep with my kids. Don't bother me. Okay, the door is closed. These are all examples of sometimes how God responds to us. Now, many of us, because we live in a McDonald's, Burger King, I have to have it my way society. I mean, I'm just an I'll confess something on air. I'm impatient. I mean, I just don't like – I'm just a guy that doesn't like waiting in lines. I'm a guy that just doesn't like – when cars don't go on a green light. Okay, I don't like waiting online at Starbucks for a coffee that's going to make me more impatient. Okay, I just don't like
I'm laughing with you, not at you. Yeah, I get a friend of mine said her daughter had heard a sermon on the fruits of the Spirit, and you know, number four is patience. And they were in a drive. She's like, what is taking so long, this drive through? And she said her daughter was like 11. She goes, Mom, number four. So I'm with you, brother, but that patience thing and prayer, we have to have a lot of patience a lot of times, don't we?
We sure do. And I think, and I've made the mistake of coming to God saying, I need it now. And I need this answered now. Are you hearing me? I'm praying fervently. I know I'm praying your will. God, I'm knocking, Lord. I'm knocking. Here I'm praying boldly. I'm coming to your throne of grace boldly, like it says in Hebrews 4:16. But I don't seem to be getting an answer. What's wrong? And that's the first, and that's what the devil does. There must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong with God. Maybe God's mad at you. Then all of a sudden, the pretensions, the lies that sets itself up against the knowledge of God start getting thrown at you to discourage you from staying in that posture of prayer.
Wow. We're out of time, unfortunately, but we are going to continue this conversation about prayer, and we're going to help even show you and maybe give you some suggestions to help you with your prayer life. So I hope you'll tell a friend about our conversation here we're having with Bill Reeser on prayer. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit later this week. Bill is the founder and director of Encounter here in Lexington, Kentucky, so we're going to be talking more about that. So invite a friend to join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Bill Reeser on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.